Hi, I'm David, and welcome to the Data Source Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data visitors that little bit better. By the end, you should learn new skills and get inspired to enhance your own data viz game. Today's guest is Lorna Eden, who is a Tableau ambassador, co-lead of Workout Wednesday, and also co-lead of Tableau Tip Tuesday. So it's very impressive. Welcome, Lorna.
Hi, thank you for having me on, David.
Cool. No, my pleasure. Thanks for coming. There's a lot to cover here. So just for those of you who are new to the show, we are going to spend the first half of the podcast just going over a viz Lorna's made. This is a really cool one. I'm really eager to understand how she built this one. So we'll get inspired about her approaches, techniques. And then in the second half, we're going to just throw some rapid fire questions at her just to kind of get to understand the person behind the business that a little bit more. And so just for those of you who are on the audio podcast, the link to the viz and or everything else we talk about will be in the show notes below. And I'll try and be as more visually descriptive with my words as possible for those people. So, okay, great. So yeah, thank you again, Lorna, for coming on the viz. I'm going to bring up the viz we're going to talk about today, and this is to do with the Iron Viz competition, is that correct? Around farming?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Okay, and what I notice here is it's not your typical viz, which I think is awesome. It's kind of like a survey stroke game, like where the choices I'm about to make, which I'll do whilst you're talking, will lead to different responses inside of the viz. Is that a fair?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I wanted to create that sort of effect because of the data set itself. I didn't really know what to do with it.
Mm. But no, it's brilliant. I just had a run through before we talked, and I've learned quite a bit about farming in the US. Yeah. So I'll go through and fill that out again so our viewers can see the stuff. But let's start off with the first question, though, whilst I'm doing that. What was the inspiration for this viz? Obviously, the data was provided by Tableau for the Iron Viz competition, but what inspired you to approach it this way?
So it was really a work project. So I can't really talk too much about the work project, but the way that the work project was working is that we've got sort of like a quiz and then you get a profile at the end. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to show off the new features of set actions and how you could use it instead of using slider parameters. So right. I just wanted to be able to select an answer to the question and then be able to provide a profile at the end. So that was kind of the idea around it.
Okay, cool. No, it's really fascinating because I've just filled out the first round and I've answered a few questions and it looks like based on my answers, yeah, it's telling me if I'm above or below the percentages of like the average stats for America or the county I'm looking at. And I don't know why I did this, but I just found out that Queens in New York doesn't have any farms, which is probably not surprising considering it's an urban city, but it's good to see that data's accurate and stuff. But that's really awesome. So just a question. So with that, is it driven, did you mention it's driven by parameters or is there something more special? Because it seems to remember what I've chosen.
Yeah. So this is driven by set actions. Yeah. So I've basically created every question is a new set. Mm-hmm. So, and then it's every question is also a set action. So then whenever you're selecting that option, it's basically a true false on the other sheets, depending on what you've selected.
I see. So that kind of sticks them. So rather than you making however many different combinations there are, you've just use that true false to like once it's activated, it sticks there and persists throughout all the viz's you guide people through with the buttons. I see. That's really smart. Okay, so and I guess with when I click next, it's you using those that new feature in Tableau, the buttons which let you jump to another worksheet.
To another they implemented that in 18.3, I think it was, with buttons, so that you can implement your own sheet, your own actual image, and then you can go from that button to the next dashboard.
Nice. No, I like that. That's a good use of that feature. It kind of flows naturally in the way you've placed it, like I answer all the questions, and then I just know where it says next, but it's just very intuitive like to do that, which is great. And I love it as an option to have internet on the farm. Of course, I'm going to say yes to that.
I mean, some people might want to not have internet.
Yeah, so. that's true. Get away from it all. That makes a lot of sense. But again, this is such a great biz because it's kind of making me, I'm invested in this data. Like, I'm sure that was a conscious choice by you, but like me filling out the answers makes me actually want to see where I stack versus the rest of the country or the county I'm in. So it's a really cool thing rather than just throwing up numbers. It's like, oh, how am I? Where am I like in relation to stuff? It's a great tactic.
Yeah. It's that personal interaction with the viz, isn't it? Like people get emotionally involved in some things, and that's what I wanted to be able to do with this one, is give them the option to get invested in the data set, because it was quite a difficult data set to get your head around. So it was quite nice to just be able to let people explore what their options would be.
But I like that it's still curated, because if you're not like just giving them everything all at once, you're actually breaking it up and making it digestible, which is really cool too. So I think that's a good tactic as well. And I just learned two new facts thanks to your biz. I thought farms with the internet would be in a minority, but it looks like 70% of farms do have internet, which is cool.
Yeah.
And also the chemical thing, I was surprised by that. Only 24% of counties use chemicals. I thought it'd be way higher. So it's really fascinating. And again, I don't know anything about farming, but your viz is doing a great job in informing a person who had zero knowledge and now getting me up in the ranks of knowledge. So I'm loving this. This is really fun. But before I get too distracted, I should ask you another question. Instead of normally I would ask people how they collected the data, but it seems like it was kind of a standard set everyone had. So I'd ask more, how did you go about manipulating it so that it could be presented in this way? You've already mentioned set actions, but like, is there a certain way you structured it? Did you have to duplicate data sets so they didn't interfere with each other?
So the way Tableau provided the data set was very messy. We had one Excel workbook that had, I think, 6 tabs. And instead of the headers being normal headers, they were reference points. So you had to then cross-reference that with another tab, which had a full list of all of the actual headers. So it was like a code and then the headers on one tab. And then on the other tab, it was just the code across the top. So it kind of needed a lot of cleaning before you could even do anything with it. That was the first task. I did use Alteryx for it because I thought it would be a lot easier. But I think you should be able to use Tableau Prep to be able to do it as well.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a pretty good tool. I haven't actually used Alteryx myself, but I've heard good things about Tableau Prep as well. I'm keen to learn how to use that. And those use cases you just described, looks like it should be able to handle that.
Yeah, and they've just dropped a new version of Tableau Prep as well, I think, which allows you to move the tools around, which is quite nice.
Oh, amazing. And I think you touch upon a great point just by cleaning the data, and that's such a valuable task in itself, because I think a lot of companies or organizations go, look, the data's there, it's fine, people will figure it out. But often they don't, because it's such hard work, and there's such a value in the way people like you approach this and add to the data by actually making it engaging and accessible and turning it from data into insights. And this is an amazing example of what, of this with your viz. So I think often people forget that. So I appreciate all those hours you've spent probably behind the scenes making this data good.
I think I made it accessible for other people as well. So they could use the clean version, or I offered it out to people to say that the clean version's there if you want it. So it's just easier for people to actually get on with iInviz as well. And I'm sure other people in the community did that.
Oh, that's really generous. And that's a common theme we've seen on this podcast with the Tableau and DataViz communities. Everyone's just really nice and generous. Like, there's none of this like, it's my idea, go away. It's like, I've done this thing. Let me share my knowledge or my hard work. And I think that's, again, really cool. And it's great to hear that you're contributing to that too. So I hope you benefited some people so they didn't have to spend just as much time as you did on that data.
Hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That's great. So here's probably the meat of the question. How did you go about the approach of creating this? Did you have to like map out, did you draw stuff? Did you map it out on paper? Like, okay, so they click here and it makes these things happen, or was it a bit more organic? Love to know your process.
Yeah. So I, being part of the data school, they tried to teach us to make sure we draw before we actually viz anything. Mm-hmm. I very rarely do that, but once I have an idea in my head, I do need to get it down onto paper. So on my iInviz European one, I actually drew it on my iPad so that I had it down on paper, and it pretty much looked identical to the final viz that I did. Nice. But for this one, we did a wireframing and like process flow workshop at work. Mm-hmm. And I kind of used post-it notes to do that. In fact, they are here.
Oh, yeah, I just made it a big screen. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I've literally got, so I stuck them on my wall. Mm. And I had like the front dashboard and then the round one.
Wow. That's amazing.
I carried on. I just built the whole process flow on my wall so that I could see, okay, well, what needs to link to where, and what else do I need to do? And that kind of formed the basis of like the skeleton as such.
Wow. That's really cool. And I guess, yeah, post-it notes are a great idea, because if something doesn't fit, I guess you just remove it or move it into a better position.
Exactly. That's the good thing about getting it down on paper, is that you're not precious over it. So you can just move it around and just put it in the right place.
Mm. Yeah. And get a good idea if it just sits well or fits well and looks good. So that's a cool idea. I need to leverage post-it notes a bit more, I think, in some of my future visits, because it's, I think I get too excited. I'm like, oh, put this here. But you're right, you get a bit committed. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to move that. I've just spent all this time resizing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's a really good point. I can definitely learn from that. And hopefully other people can too. But that's cool. So you got the structure. And then did you think about the narrative? Did you try and group up? Seems like there's certain groupings of things. I think first off, you focus on location. And then I think round three was about crops, and four was about animals. Is that kind of how you approached it?
Yeah, so I basically printed off all of the questions. I think there was 200 of them. I printed them off on an A4 sheet of paper, two or three A4s. And I basically just went through them and said, do I want to ask this sort of question or do I not? And then I just highlighted the ones that I wanted. And then in my Alteryx workflow, that's where I got rid of the ones I didn't want, and just kept the ones that I needed for my viz, because otherwise it would have been a lot of data points and it was just easier working with a smaller data set.
No, that makes sense. I'm not sure if this is how you approach it too, but I love how you get people after each round to go back to the game board. So even when you have all these questions, you give people a sense of progression, as there's a grid which is empty to start with, but as we keep going through each of the question rounds, they fill up with our responses. Was that a conscious choice to give people that sense of progress as they go through to keep going?
Yeah, so I wanted to just make sure that people knew that their choices were meaning something in the end. So I wanted to give them that inspiration to keep going through to see what their final game board would look like. So once you get through round one, you kind of think, oh, what's next? And just keep going through with that. That's kind of why I did it in between each after Did You Know? So that people could see their progression.
No, that's amazing, because the word filling out, or the term filling out questionnaires, doesn't normally excite people, but this is actually, you're making it fun, and it's quite rare. So that's a great idea. You've managed to make the impossible happen. You made a questionnaire fun and engaging. Yeah. But that's cool though. Again, it just goes to show like a good UX approach and workflow and data visualizations along the way can really help with that. So it's cool to see you've actually applied a lot of this to this, and made something typically boring, really interesting. So this is cool. I'm going to have to see how I can bring this back into my day job.
that's the thing, isn't it? It's trying to bring it back into the day job now, which I'm trying to do with one of the products that we're working on.
Nice.
So hopefully That'll be nice.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, no, that's cool. Okay, what do we got next? Question. Oh, so I guess I might have stolen some of your thunder, but I was just excited about some of the insights I found. But what were you personally, what were some of the best insights you found when you were exploring this data?
Yeah, so for me, the best insights wasn't what I found. It was seeing what people said about the actual viz, and like you've said, about the learning along the way. So it's not about me learning from the data set, because I didn't, well, I did fill it out once, but like it was mainly about how the person that was filling it out learned their journey and understood that the farm that they wanted to be on. So yeah,
right.
It was more about the user rather than myself getting the insights.
Okay, and actually that's kind of smart actually, because you have all this data and you've managed to build a process or a workflow which scales analysis, and you can kind of get those insights, because I've just completed the quiz and I've seen you've got a button here which allows you to tweet your results, which is really smart. Do you instruct people to use a hashtag too?
But yeah, so once you click that button, it actually goes to a pre-formatted tweet. So it kind of gives you the option to say, oh, I completed this iron farming with the hashtags already in there, so that I can track the hashtags as well.
Wow. Okay, we're going to, I didn't click it before, but you're going to get a tweet from me now. So that's amazing. Wow. Okay, I'm kind of curious, how did you manage to do that? Is it just a bit of custom code or?
So there's a website that you can go on that creates your own tweet URL. So it'll automatically predetermine what tweet you want to say, and then it'll give you a URL. And then it's just a simple URL action from Tableau. So once you click on the button, it then takes you to the internet.
And right.
And your predetermined tweet's already there.
Wow. That's very smart. I like that. It's, I guess rather than people going through all this and hitting that dead end, you've actually given them an outlet to be like, hey, look, I finished my journey. And it kind of, it's not like a disappointment. It's like they actually can share and prove they've done it rather than just the results just disappearing forever. So,
yeah, that was my idea, is that I wanted people to share what they'd done and hopefully that people could compare the different types of farms that people wanted to live on.
Mm.
And just by using the image.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check out that hashtag later and see what other people did. That's this is amazing. This is great work. Perfect. Okay, next question. Okay, so you've mentioned a few things you've done, but what was like the number one skill you've learned by building the Spears?
Yeah, so the number one would have been the set actions to make sure that I knew how they worked. And just in general, I did come across some issues with how I originally created them. But then once I'd got over that, I managed to recreate most of them and work it out. So it's just a case of learning from your mistakes and making sure that your set actions are working nicely. But I did just recently put a blog out on how I use the set actions as buttons on my blog. So it's under Tableau Tip Tuesday.
Okay, cool. So yeah, here's the website or the post you've done. I'm just looking at it now. So this is your own website where you share a lot of your process and Tableau skills. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this is my, so I have different options on there, but the one that we focus on is the Tableau Tip Tuesday. That's the one where I post most things to. But this week I decided to document my process on how I built the button, the set action buttons, to use them as filters. So it gives you a nice little video and the actual viz to go through so that you can download it and have a play with it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I see that there. That's okay. That's great. We'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes too. Again, I love this kind of stuff. The Tableau, the community. We're not just hoarding information. We're actually sharing it, like how so other people can benefit and actually learn from this stuff. So, thank you for doing that. That'll be great. Hopefully, other people will make some cool stuff using that.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. It'd be nice for people to use the power of set actions.
Yeah, because I find I've been using them a little bit and they're so powerful, but it's just most people I speak to, they're like, set what now? And then you have to go and explain the possibilities they can drive. And I think cases like yours are just great because it's far better to show rather than tell, I think. So yeah, this is a great.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, once people get their heads around them, the sky's the limit, as you're proving with this. So,
yeah. And the new feature as well around parameter actions, they're even cooler. So yeah,
set actions
are new.
Nice. I haven't even looked at those yet. I need to get into that. Excellent. Okay. I'm just going to quickly, as we're talking, scroll through your Tableau public gallery. You seem to have a lot of cool viz's, and I was just wondering what project is next for you, or what viz is next for you, which we should get excited about.
Yeah. So I'm guessing, I think the next IronViz feeder is announced soon. Mm-hmm. So I'll be working towards that next. But I do have a long list of projects that I really want to do, but it's just finding the time and the balance. So I really like to spend my time helping with the Tableau Tip Tuesday, workout Wednesday. So it's just, again, finding that right balance in terms of how much personal vising can I do or sharing with the community.
No, that's very fair. I think you've got to strike a good work-life hobby balance, and I think if you're not spending time making vizzes by helping other people make vizzes, that's definitely not a bad thing. So that's really cool. But I highly recommend anyone to go check out Lorna's gallery too. There's a lot of cool things in here, especially her work on Workout Wednesday and Tableau Tip Tuesday. It's I'm gonna spend hours after this just looking through half these again. This is great. Love it. Okay, cool. So no, that's cool. So I guess the big projects are ongoing ones. So Tableau Tip Tuesday and Workout Wednesday. And just for people who aren't familiar, would you be able to describe quickly what those are?
Yeah, of course. So Tableau Tip Tuesday kind of gives it away in the name. myself and Andy Kriebel, we take it in turns every week and we release a tip via a video, so that people can see our screens and see how we're actually creating that specific tip. So it gives them a new tip every week to do with Tableau. So recently we've been focusing on the new parameter actions and set actions, but sometimes we go a bit old school and on some of the things that people might forget. So like all formatting your workbook just in one click and changing data sources and all sorts of like just mini things really. That's work Tableau Tip Tuesday. And Workout Wednesday is kind of, it pushes the limits of your own Tableau knowledge. So we take it in turns. So there's four of us, myself, Anne Jackson, Curtis Harris, and Luke Stanky. We all create a one every 4 weeks, I think it is. So we create a viz that has sort of like a business purpose or something that you could hopefully take back to your own business and recreate. But we essentially give them the viz and we give them a set of instructions. So you kind of have to follow you have to recreate the viz without cheating, but using the requirements of the viz itself. Okay. So, yeah. It's kind of a good one to follow if you want to push your own skills.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And it's kind of, again, it's applied learning. It's not just here's a load of theory, off you go. It's like, I think, yeah, it's a great way to get people to learn by doing. If you give them that kind of set of instructions, that's, I think, what makes a lot of the stronger community enhancement collaboration projects stand out. Those kind of ones where you give people a bit of a guardrail just to kind of help them get started and then like have a success state so they know they've actually learned what you're teaching them. So, yeah, that's
great.
Yeah,
exactly. We also like reference, if we think that the workout is quite hard, we kind of do give them hints along the way to specific blog posts that will help them build a certain element of the Workout Wednesday as well. So we're not just cruel and we just leave them to really difficult ones. We do hint and provide feedback to those that think that are done the Workout Wednesday and then we just say, oh, you might just need to change this a little bit to make it perfect.
Oh, that's great. That's really lovely. Again, it's a little guiding nudge rather than just going, ha ha, I couldn't figure that one out. It's like,
yeah.
That's really inspiring. And that's great that you guys put that time in. I guess, yeah, you're paying it forward. So hopefully those people will teach others and keep it going. So that's yeah. really inspiring. Great. So one more question in this section before we move on to the rapid fire ones. Is there anything you'd like to promote or make other people aware of apart from the Tabula Tip Tuesday and Workout Wednesday we just talked about?
Getting people involved within IronVis itself. So this year they had 75 entries, but we really want to push it up, especially the lower diversity range as well. So get more females involved, ethnic minorities as well, just to get more people involved within the IronVis community, especially to try and get people on stage as well. Because at the minute it seems to be a male dominated environment. And we want to make sure that we get recognition for the work that we're doing as well. So let's get more people involved in IronVis. To help with that, there's also something called IronQuest, which Sarah Bartlett runs.
Yes, we had her on the podcast a while back, and it's a great program. But just for those who haven't heard that, would you be able to quickly describe what that is?
Yeah, of course. So Sarah Bartlett runs it, and she gets guest hosts as well. So what she does is she provides a topic, which is the same sort of idea as IronVis. You then have a month to create this specific viz, and then she provides feedback on what you could improve on or what she liked and stuff like that. And Josh, who's just won the latest IronVis,
yes.
he participated in IronQuest first and right. then went on to win the first feeder.
Wow. Yeah. I had him on the podcast a while back, and he does good work too. Must be so hard to be a judge on that, choosing between all these great entries. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, I don't envy them.
Yeah. But you're saying, so that's where he got his first taste and support to help him.
Yeah, so it was his first entry into IronVis itself, but he did do the IronQuest beforehand. So it kind of gave him that practice run through and the feedback that he needed to then create the winning viz, essentially.
Amazing. No, that's a great thing to promote. It's, IronVis is feeders, they're not scary, and it sounds like it is support. So I guess, making more people aware of it, like you said, but also, I guess, supporting people who might not think they're cut out for it and stuff like that, or just a bit shy. I think that's a great thing to promote. Get more diversity, which is awesome.
And I'm happy to help anybody who thinks that they want to enter IronVis. If they want any feedback on their viz, then just drop me a line on Twitter, then I can definitely help and provide some feedback for that.
Awesome. And all of Lorna's social media stuff will be down in the show notes. And if you're watching the video, it should be just over there, underneath her head, floating through. So definitely get in touch. That's a great, thanks for offering that. That's cool.
Problem.
We've got into, we're now going into the rapid fire questions. So I'm going to just, throw several questions at you, and feel free to take as long or as little as you like to answer them. But I feel these are always a good way just to kind of get a little bit better understanding behind you and not just the viz, because I always feel the creators are just as interesting as the data visualizations they make. So here we go. Here's question number one. Pie charts, do you love or loathe them?
I'm going to use an Andy Cotgreave answer here, and it depends. If you have less than three or less than probably four slices, I would potentially use them if it's my last option. I do prefer donuts, even though they're like even worse than pie charts, but they look a little bit nicer.
Okay.
But they wouldn't be my first choice.
No, that's fair enough. That it depends answer comes up quite a bit on this podcast, which I think is a good thing. To have blind hate of any particular chart isn't ideal, because it can serve a purpose. But from what I can tell, and based on your response to those purposes or times to use them, are quite rare. So okay, that's good. Yeah, I always feel they get an unfair rep, but like what you just said, it's time and place.
Exactly. Yeah. Literally a time and a place.
just not that often. Yeah. Okay. So next question. So what publications for DataViz do you regularly follow?
So I don't really follow that many, but when I'm trying to look for inspiration, I generally search the topic on Pinterest. So I search for like the topic and then put infographic at the end of it and then just scroll through them and get lots of inspiration. And I have a whole DataViz folder on my Pinterest. But other than that, it's just looking through Tableau Public and just finding people that have created great vizzes. But there's a hashtag on Twitter called Dig This Viz.
Oh, okay.
So there's quite a few people that do use it, and I reference it quite a lot. So if I really like someone's visualization or that I think there's got a great story or it looks really, really nice and clean, then I just retweet it with a hashtag Dig This Viz. So people could use that to search for specific vizzes or something just to give them a bit more inspiration.
Oh, amazing. No, I haven't heard those two suggested before, so I'm definitely going to adopt those. Pinterest, never thought of that, but that's a great idea. And I guess the hashtag one's pretty cool because it's like nominated good vizzes, not just people going, look at me. It's other people going, that's worth a look. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think anyone's used it on themselves. Other people tend to promote other people's work by using the Dig This Viz. So I am tracking the hashtag via Google Sheets on using the if this then that formula. So hopefully I should be able to create something with that so that you can actually link back to the specific viz.
Oh, that's
somehow
smart.
Somewhere. So now I've got that on evidence that I kind of have to do it, right?
Yeah, that's another project. Watch this space. But that's cool though. I'm totally going to start following that hashtag and also promote good work I see. So you might see a few of my submissions in there of other people I submit, not me. I don't want to be that first person who submits himself. Yeah, that's not good. Great. Okay, so that's a cool resource. So thank you. So just for Tableau newbies, what would be your number one trick or tip you'd give to them when they start out?
See, this was a difficult one for me because obviously I run the Tableau Tip Tuesday and I'm used to giving like long tips. So to think of a short tip that I can explain, it was quite difficult. But using an in-field calculation, so when you double-click on rows or columns, you get to create your own calculation inside that field. I tend to use the average of zero quite a lot. Because it gives you a dummy axis to allow you to plot your text. So if you're using like text headers or you want something that's centered, you could use the average of zero or average of one, depending, or minus one, depending on where you want the offset to be. So if you wanted something to sit on the right, you would use minus one. And one. If you wanted it on the left, you'd use minus one. So it kind of... Yeah, just the average of minus one, zero, or one just offsets it ever so slightly for those text labels.
No, that's really smart. I never thought about that. That's a great tip. It's not just for newbies. It's for old dinosaurs like me too. It's great. Perfect. And I've got to confess, I don't use that enough to double clicking inside the equation. It might just be habit of like right mouse click, edit, but it should be something I guess we should look into because it probably speeds up the work stream.
Yeah, but then also if you are using that calculation quite a lot, it's always handy to drag it from the rows and columns into your measures, and then it will save that calculation for you so that you can reuse it all the time.
Oh, that's smart, yeah, because it's kind of a new thing. So you're saying if you drag that pill back in, it then creates a copy or it creates a reusable version.
That's really good for when you're doing table calculations. So if you're doing like the percent of total of your sales and you do the quick table calculation on the pill, it will then, if you drag it over to the left-hand side onto your measures, it will then save that specific calculation and you can look into that calculation to see what that table calc is.
Wow. You just blow my mind. That's like, I didn't even know that was possible. That's amazing. Totally going to mess around with that afterwards too. This is great. I love doing this podcast. It helps others, but it's secretly helping me too. I'm like, oh, learning was cool. Thanks. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. That's a great tip. So perfect. Okay. Here's always a tricky one. What is your favorite chart type?
There's lots of charts that I really like, but depending on the data, I think a jitter plot is really useful for if you've got lots of points stacked on top of each other with lots of the same values. So it allows to see the spread of, say, that specific number. So I really like jitter plots.
Okay, yeah, I'm actually seeing a couple in your gallery, which is, again, yeah, perfect example shown in action. But no, that's cool. I guess it's one of those, it depends ones, but there are, like, I guess, personal favorites, and that's a good go-to one. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned you've used Alteryx, but apart from Tableau, what other tools do you generally use when you're building a viz?
PowerPoint. So okay. PowerPoint is great for, because Tableau Public doesn't support as many fonts as we would like. PowerPoint is great for creating those key headers or images that you need. So like buttons, for example, PowerPoint is great at creating buttons. You can save them as images and then import them into your Tableau repository. So PowerPoint is definitely one of those tools that you need when you're creating a viz.
Yeah, this is interesting. You're like the fourth person, like really like seasoned veteran Tableau user who like has mentioned that. And I think that's cool because it is like a great drawing tool, which you can then just export and put in. I've been stuck it into the Adobe suite, but you're like using Photoshop and stuff, but your solution's way more easy and cheaper. So I'm kind of kicking myself now. Yeah.
That's a good thing about, PowerPoint is majority of people do have it, so it's the cheaper option for creating those.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess more people are used to using PowerPoint than they are Photoshop or some more advanced graphics thing. So I think that's a cool message and inspiring to hear that you guys use that, because it's not in the realms of these elite creative people. It's just you've got the tools literally on your computer, most likely, to go do this stuff. So the excuses or the barriers are just or even more reduced.
So, yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Okay, so I'm going to have to dig out PowerPoint again, I think. join the cool kids again. It's way quicker. I love it. Okay. Okay, so this is always an interesting one. What was your first version of Tableau?
I think it was way back in 8.2.
Oh, okay.
So 2015, I think, was the earliest I started using it, which was before level of detail calculation.
Yes, yeah.
And now I couldn't imagine my life without them. Yeah, I use them all the time.
It's like the dark, dark period.
Yeah.
Well, not dark. It's just more frustrating because like you knew what you could do when they have them. And it's just great that Tableau finally listened and put them in, made them easy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like that because it makes people appreciate it. Like I just imagine a person uses Tableau for the first time today. They probably would just take everything for granted. But it's us old users who are like, oh, in my day, they didn't have non-US maps. And
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that. So part of my work, I'm still working on 10.4. Ooh. And so I'm looking at the new features and I'm like, oh man, why can I not use actions? Why can't I use viz and tooltips?
Crikey. Viz and tooltips. Yeah, I love that one.
10.5 was viz and tooltips. So it's interesting when you don't have it and you know what's available.
Yeah, that's probably even worse. You're like, I can, but
I know I can do it.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, is that you sometimes using 10.4? Is that just because of your work environment, or do you just like to keep yourself on, keep on your toes, keep yourself on the toes?
No, it's definitely not the second option you just said. No, 10.4 is we've had a bit of issues with upgrading, so we're just kind of wait. It's the whole TDE to Hyper issue, so we're just waiting on an upgrade for that.
I feel your pain.
I do still keep up to date with the versions because publishing to Tableau Public as well. So
yeah, That's good
to keep up to date on them.
Totally. So when they do launch a newer version, you're like, I got this. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I know what we're doing.
I know the features.
Yeah. That's excellent. Okay, cool. Okay. Speaking of Tableau inversions, what would be the number one feature you'd like to see Tableau implement, which they haven't already?
Oh, well, this is a pet peeve of mine. Okay. So when you, I think it was in 10.2, you could go to format all workbook, and then you could remove the grid lines, the axis rulers, format all the fonts in there. It would be great if you could have the row and column dividers in there as well, because every time I end up turning them all off one by one on every single sheet. It's the biggest bugbear of mine.
Oh, yeah, that would add up, especially like with the one you just had with multiple sheets. And yeah.
Yeah, wow. I had to remove all of them one by one.
Oh, and it's really tricky to know that they could do it, because they do it with all the other global things. So interesting. Is there like already a Tableau feature request, or can we like make one and upload it?
I'm not sure, actually. I think I might create one if there's not one. If not, we can definitely try and find an upvoted version.
Yeah. Let's do some digging, and whatever happens, there'll be one down below, because I would probably benefit from that too, because I do find myself doing that quite regularly. And having multiple sheets, I'm just shuddering thinking about trying to do that on like more than a couple.
Yeah. I'd rather them be disabled and then for me to add them if I want them, rather than having to remove them all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's very rarely I'd like to keep them. So yeah. I'm off.
It's on the odd occasion that I do want them. Like very odd.
So it's the exception, not the norm. So yeah, maybe that's a behavior they could tweak. I think, well, let's try and make that happen. Let's see. we'll do it. Okay, cool. We've actually just reached the end of the questions. You've been really great and efficient, and like I guess I've tried to force myself not to ramble a lot too. I'll just stop here, but is there anything else you maybe like want to mention, or if you're happy to finish early, that's cool too, but the stage is yours, so we've got about 10 minutes left.
So anybody who's coming to Berlin for the Tableau TCE conference, there's lots of great sessions that you should definitely be heading to. Just going to do a shameless plug on Workout Wednesday after IronViz on the Wednesday. And then also there's a Tableau Ambassador Meet the Rockstars session, which involves myself, Sarah Bartlett, and Simon Beaumont. So we'll have doing some Q&A questions there. So if you have any questions for us, then come and meet us there.
Amazing. Just for those of you, for those listeners who aren't familiar, the Tableau Conference Europe, that's when's that coming up? That's soon, right?
That is in just under 2 weeks now. So from the 17th to the 19th of June, and it is officially sold out, I'm afraid. So unless you have your ticket. You're not going to be able to go. But then there's also Vegas in November.
Yes. That should be fun. And are you going to be at that one?
Yes, I'll be there. Hopefully I'll be presenting again. And hopefully there will be another Workout Wednesday session. We'll definitely be there.
Exciting. I hope there is. It'd be a shame if there wasn't. No, I'd be surprised too. So yeah, I'll be at that one too. So we'll have to say hi in person.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Definitely.
Be cool. I'm easy to spot. I'm 6'8". It's hard to tell when I'm sitting down. So just look for the super tall guy.
Yeah, I will do.
Excellent. Okay, so that's cool. So yeah, anyone who's going to be at TCE 2019, make sure you go to Lorna's sessions and the Workout Wednesdays. You won't regret it. It'll be really valuable. Okay, great. Anything else, or should we just
I think that's everything. Thank you for having me on. It's been great to chat to you.
Great having you on too. Thank you so much for your time. Okay, so that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check out the show notes for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till next time. Thank you very much.